Hello, and welcome back to Reservoir's Bible Guide podcast for Lent 2018. This year, during the Lenten season, we're exploring the book of Revelation, focusing on our identity as children of God in a fractured world, and looking for hope as we resist the worst of our times and let Jesus center us. My name is Helen Lee, and I'm on staff here at Reservoir Church. This year's Bible Guide was written by Steve Watson, senior pastor at Reservoir, and I'm happy to share it with you here in podcast form. Thanks for joining us. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and with the wine of whose fornication the inhabitants of the earth have become drunk." So he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her fornication. And on her forehead was written a name, a mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of whores and of earth's abominations. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly amazed. But the angel said to me, "Why are you so amazed? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to ascend from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be amazed when they see the beast, because it was and is not, and is to come." This calls for a mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. Also, they are seven kings, of whom five have fallen, one is living, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour, together with the beast. These are united in yielding their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, "The waters that you saw where the whore is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages, and the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the whore. They will make her desolate and naked. They will devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to carry out his purpose by agreeing to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." Some points of interest here. Great whore. There are several places in Scripture where male writers use prostitutes, whores, or adulterous women as metaphors for people or societies who are unfaithful to God. This is at best complicated. To my ear, it's also unintentionally misogynistic. I consider the Bible to be an authoritative witness to the person and mission of Jesus, and also a penetratingly insightful record of people's understandings of and experiences of God. It's critical to me in guiding me toward insight and truth about God, myself, and all of life, but it's also written by real people in real cultures that had real flaws. It's okay to interrogate and push back on the parts that seem to reflect the shell of those cultures more than the core of its intended message. I find the whore language distracting and unhelpful, but I can hear the underlying truth that there are leaders and nations that look beautiful while they actually entice people to harm. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Rome grew its empire through war and conquest, but also through the submission, allegiance, and selling out of collaborators. That doesn't end well for them or the people they represent. Clothed in purple and scarlet. The Babylon whore character has aspirations to wealth and royalty, but is really just a parody of God's reign and rule. Babylon. John is clearly writing about the Roman Empire. There are hints of this everywhere in the text, but if he called Rome the mother of whores and of earth's abominations and predicted its destruction, he would be executed, and the churches he represents would also likely be persecuted or destroyed. So he writes in thinly veiled code, calling Rome by the name of Israel's ancient enemy, who destroyed their temple and the city of Jerusalem in the 6th century BC. He also gives the world a universal symbol for human powers that have impressive might and wealth, while they are also full of evil. Babylon is Rome, but it is also every human society that builds great cities and amasses great wealth while doing violence, exploiting economically, proudly announcing its own greatness, while also leading people toward dependence on self and society and not on God. Babylon is also undeniably us. Drunk with the blood of the saints. The non-Christian Roman historian Tacitus describes Emperor Nero's brutal, bloody execution of followers of Jesus. Later emperors would do this again. About to ascend from the bottomless pit. Apparently, there was a widespread legend that Emperor Nero would rise from the underworld to rule and do evil again. Was and is not and is to come. Human leaders and rulers that give Babylon its being are a parody of the good rule of God who was and is to come. The seven heads on seven mountains. One of many allusions to Rome, the city of seven hills, which by some ways of counting had seven emperors by the writing of Revelation. A spiritual exercise to try. This week, in light of the judgment on all human systems that resist God and God's good and humane ways on earth, we're considering the command to come out and turn away from the evil baked into human societies, our own included. Today, consider how your praise or love of country has obscured your vision of what is good and true and beautiful. Ask God for clarity of vision to see your country's blessings, but also its violence and its evils for what they are. A direction for prayer. Pray for the churches of America that they would repent of any ways they have sold out to American patriotism that covers up past violence and pursues America First blessing over God's desire for all peoples of the earth to love and follow Jesus into life, truth, joy, and peace.